Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Wednesday, February the 14th, and I am excited that you decide to start your day off with us in prayer. I do not take this opportunity to share with you for granted. My hope is that over the next 40 days of prayer and fasting, this time will refresh you personally, but also as a church, we are seeking God's blessings and direction corporately. Today starts the Lenten season. Lent is a season of 40 days, excluding Sundays. The 40 days represents the time Jesus spent in the wilderness, enduring the temptation of Satan and preparing to begin his ministry. Lent is a time of repentance, fasting, and preparation for the coming of Easter. It's a time of self-examination and reflection. Over the next 40 days, we are going to focus on our relationship with God, growing as disciples and extending ourselves by giving up something or ourselves for others. I want to encourage you to invite your family and friends and coworkers. The guy at the gas station that's trying to holler at you, the person handing you your fries at the drive-through window, to get on this call, because there's no better way, and I'm speaking for me, that I would want to start my day off than with prayer and togetherness with other believers. As we begin this journey, I want you to know that there is a special power at work. It's the power of togetherness, the strength we build through corporate prayer and fasting. When we, like Christ, withdraw into a focused season of sacrifice and spiritual reflection, we ain't doing it alone. Our individual commitment amplifies into something mighty because we journey as a whole community of believers. Think of nature, and I thought about this yesterday. Think of nature. Consider the ways animals find protection within a pack, like the zebra. The iconic stripes of a zebra herd not only serve as individual camouflage, but also as a dazzling, confusing mass when they move together. When a zebra stands alone, that zebra becomes a clear target for predators, whereas when they land together as a group, the disorienting pattern created by the herd increases their chances for survival. Or what about wolves, right? Wolves embody the essence of pack mentality, hunting together, sharing food, and working as a unit ensures not only their success in the face of hardship, but the very continuation of their lineage. And then fish, vast schools of fish, they move as a single organism, flashing silver as their movements change direction in unison. And this synchronized, mesmerizing form of defense can overwhelm and confuse would-be attackers. The zebra, the wolves, the fish, when they move in unison. Listen, when we move in unison as part of a greater whole, the chances of an attack being successful drop significantly. Predators often seek out the solitary target, the one who wants to go at this thing called life alone. But when the enemy sees this target alone, they sense weakness at an opportunity to go in for the kill. But within the safety of the group, an interesting transformation occurs. Individuals benefit from enhanced awareness and a network of defense. Should a predator appear, the herd doesn't scatter in chaos. That herd might wheel and turn in synchronized motion, disorienting the attacker. It's the same with spiritual endeavors. The choice to participate actively in this Lenten journey brings us into communion with countless others walking the same path. You know, there's a quiet empowerment knowing you're not alone in your prayers or your fasting. This collective effort transcends isolation. It amplifies our intentions and adds layers of meaning to our personal sacrifice. This is the purpose of our 40-day Lenten journey. As we prepare our hearts and minds and create space to meditate and contemplate on our own struggles and sinfulness, I want this space to be affirming, to let you know that you are not alone, that God sees you, and we are in this thing together. So I want to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. For those of you who are new to Grace, welcome to our devotional prayer call. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and I have the privilege to lead an amazing group of people at Grace Community Church, and we're delighted to have you share in this sacred space with us. This morning, and I'm sure it'll flow into the rest of the week, I want to talk about, are you sorry or sorry you got caught? Are you sorry or sorry you got caught? I want you to read Hosea chapter 6 today. Hosea chapter 6 is just 11 verses. Are you sorry or sorry you got caught? How can you really tell if a person is sorry? Well, let's start with you. Have you ever been called to the carpet to account by somebody near to you, and although you told them you were sorry and asked to be forgiven, you were wondering if you would have confessed if you hadn't been caught? I mean, what were you really sorry about? Getting caught or the misery you had brought into someone else's life? Were you just feeling sorry for yourself and it helped to get it off your chest? Was it just remorse for the mess you had made of everything, or was it real repentance? Well, Hosea chapter 6 addresses the issue of how to know if repentance, whether our own or somebody else's, is genuine. In Hosea chapter 4, Israel is on trial. God stated his case. The problem was that there was no faithfulness or love or knowledge of God among God's people. And they were found guilty of sin and idolatry, breaking their covenant with God. And God sentenced them to judgment. And as a result of their ever-increasing sin, the land mourned and the people languished in pain. But instead of turning to the Lord and trusting God for help, in chapter 5 of Hosea, they turned to Assyria. But God made it clear the only way to a path of healing and restoration was through confession and repentance. Well, in Hosea chapter 6, Israel tried to appeal their sentence by appealing to God's mercy. They told God that they were sorry, hoping that their expressed feelings of regret and remorse would move the judge to accept their appeal and overturn his ruling. But something was missing from their appeal. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, they use all the right vocabulary. Let us return. That word means to turn back as means of either reassociation or repentance or reconciliation. That when one repents, he or she not only turns away from evil, but also turns to the righteousness of God. Come, let us return to the Lord. I mean, it sounds good, but something is missing. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Sounds good, right? But still, something is missing. And maybe this might help. True repentance is contrition over a ruined relationship with God. I'll say it again. True repentance is contrition over a ruined relationship with God. Repentance is not generic, but specific. And the reason it's not generic is because we don't serve a generic God. God deals in specifics. God is personal. God has a name, and God acts in history and speaks specifically through God's word. And God's word gets up close and personal with the sinless. It dips all in our Kool-Aid and knows the flavor. And this flavor is not generic, but specific. Commandment number one, you should have no other gods before me. That includes love of money, gluttony, complaining, not loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, loving of self, putting family, friends, job, or anything else above God, including food, money, sports, TV, internet, movies, cars, attachment to riches or material goods. Commandment number two, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. We don't carve images or bow down to little golden statues, but we've made our careers little gods. We've made the letters behind our name and the accolades on our walls little gods. We furnish our homes and accessorize our automobiles, but always come up short in the area of giving. Commandment number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And I can go on and on and on. God is specific. You may not have committed murder with a gun, but how many times have you laid down and awakened with an unforgiving heart? You may not have committed adultery, but how many fantasies have cruised through the corridors of your mind? Or how many bodies have you undressed with your eyes? God is specific. And since God is specific, we must be specific with our repentance and call that sin by his name. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, hear it again. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. They wanted to return to the Lord, watch this, without confessing what they were returning from. They expected God to deal with their despair and bind up their wounds, but they made no mention of their waywardness. They feel the pain of the consequences of their sin, but fail to confess the sin that is residing in their hearts. Here it is. They want healing, but not cleansing. They want happiness, but not holiness. They want restoration, but not true repentance. And watch this. They wanted it quickly. Verse 2 of Hosea chapter 6, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. They were confident. No, they were overly confident that if they returned to the Lord, that his discipline would be short and their restoration would be quick. They were looking for a quickie instead of an enduring solution. They approach repentance like some of us approach a flat tire. I remember years ago I ran over something that punctured my tire. The tire went flat after I returned to the house, and when I noticed the tire was flat, it was too late to have it fixed. So I inflated the tire with Fix-A-Flat, right? The tire held its pressure, and it looked fine. But I knew that I temporarily solved the problem. The next morning, I took the tire to be repaired. It looked repaired when I took it. It held air pressure fine. It drove fine. But the problem was only temporarily corrected. I knew it needed a durable repair. That meant finding a place that would make the repair, taking the tire off the rim, locating the puncture, patching the puncture with durable material, and remounting the tire. That took time, and it was inconvenient. But I learned two interesting things about the quick fix for flat tires. First, Fix-A-Flat makes it very hard to find the puncture because it temporarily seals the hole. Second, the puncture was located by washing the inside of the tire with water. Water dissolves the Fix-A-Flat. If you wash it with water, the tire loses air pressure again. Some of you have been inflating your life with Fix-A-Flat, quick fixes to an unresolved problem. And you keep breaking down on the road of life because a quick fix only meets the pressing need of the moment and temporarily controls the problem. You've been inflating your life with church attendance and community service, with giving and religious activities, and because the puncture has been filled, you think your life is fine. But a fixer flat can only get you so far. You're going to need an enduring solution. But the only way to turn the knob of God's cleansing water to locate the puncture to plug the hole in your life is through repentance. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition. Help my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. I'll pick up here tomorrow, but let me ask you some questions to set it right. Are you truly addressing the leaks in your life? You see, a flat tire is a symptom, not the problem. Are you only focusing on immediate solutions without examining the underlying issues that led to the breakdown? You ain't got to be ashamed this morning, because all of us got some leaking areas, leaking values. Sometimes the flat tire of transgression stems from misaligned values. We might prioritize instant gratification over integrity, convenience over empathy, or self-preservation over justice. Identifying these value leaks requires honest self-reflection. What values truly guide my actions? Are they serving me and those around me well? Some of you got leaking boundaries, blurred boundaries in relationships, commitments, or even with our own desires can lead to ethical breaches. Do I respect the boundaries of others? Do I have healthy boundaries for myself? Are these boundaries clear and communicated effectively? Leaking boundaries leave us vulnerable to ethical lapses. So some of us on the line got leaking emotional regulation. Unmanaged emotions can cloud judgment and lead to impulsive actions we later regret. Do I have healthy coping mechanisms for dealing with difficult emotions? Am I seeking support for emotional regulation challenges? Addressing emotional leaks empowers us to respond ethically, even in challenging situations. I think all of us can relate to this one. Leaking responsibility. Taking accountability for our actions is crucial for genuine repentance. Do I readily accept responsibility for my mistakes, or do I deflect blame or minimize the impact? Embracing responsibility, church, is the first step towards patching and repairing the leak and preventing future blowouts. This morning, we need to shift from fix to transformation. And I'll tell you more about that tomorrow, all right? So let's pray. O God of boundless grace, as we embark on this holy journey of Lent, we stand before you with hearts humbled and spirits contrite. We confess the weight of our transgressions, the choices that strayed from your light, and the words and actions that cause harm. We acknowledge the leaks within us, the cracks in our values, the blurred boundaries, and the unconscious biases that led us astray. We lament the times we turned away from your love, choosing self-satisfaction over compassion and pride over humility. Forgive us, God, for the wounds we inflicted on ourselves and others. Forgive us for the opportunities we squandered and the potential left unfulfilled. Cleanse our hearts with the balm of your mercy and wash away the stains of our sin with the rain of your grace. Grant us during this Lenten season the strength to confront the shadows within. Open our eyes to the truth of our actions and guide us towards genuine introspection and transformation. Father, I'm asking that you would help us identify the leaks in our lives, the areas where our values need realignment, our boundaries need strengthening, and our awareness needs expansion. Empower us to develop healthier coping mechanisms and embrace responsibility for our choices. Lead us, Father, on this path of repentance and renewal. Grant us the wisdom to learn from our mistakes, the courage to make amends, and the perseverance to continue growing on this journey towards your light. May this Lent be a time of deep reflection, sincere repentance and contrition, and unwavering commitment to becoming the people you created us to be. And now, Lord, as we gather together on this devotional call, seeking your guidance and grace, we lift up a prayer of protection and blessings over each participant. Shelter us all beneath your loving wings, shielding us from negativity, doubt, and distractions that might hinder our connection to you. Guard our hearts and minds from harmful thoughts and influences, allowing us to receive your words with open hearts and spirits. We pray for protection against spiritual and emotional adversaries, that no darkness may impede the light of your love and truth that shines within us. Surround us this day with a circle of your warring angels, watching over our words and intentions, guiding us towards unity and understanding. Father, I'm praying that you would bless our communication, ensuring clarity and respect in our interactions. Fill the space with your peace, fostering empathy and kindness as we share our vulnerabilities and seek comfort in your presence. May this call be a haven of solace and strength, where we can lift each other up in prayer and support each other's journeys. So, Father, watch over us as we go forth from this gathering, carrying the warmth of your blessings and the inspiration of your word into our daily lives. Help us to let our light shine today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm excited about what God is going to do in and through us over the next 40 days. Be sure to share this call with others about the fast and our Lenten journey. The information is on our website at gracechurchal.com. Click on that 40 days of fasting flyer and the playback call. Yeah, even the playback call from this morning devotional call will be uploaded to the website today. Hey, listen, we're praying for you all today, hoping that you're surrounded by the love of God and the communion of his people and his fellowship of the saints. And we're hoping that you'll join us tomorrow morning, same place, same time at 6:30 a.m. Hey, listen, thank you so much, and have an awesome and prosperous day. God bless.